Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Sherry Denham, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We're glad you're with us today on New Life Live.
I loved your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I should talk to a therapist.
You definitely
need. I
should
go unload on somebody.
What's the question about that?
Whether I'm saved, because I'm just nuttier than a fruitcake.
Well, as Steve said, if being nutty can't equal being saved, he and I are in trouble as well, especially him.
That's the first really honest thing I think I've heard you say, and I'm not trying to be mean. That sounded honest.
And you work at listening to her.
Your mom is a marriage vulture, and she sits on your shoulder, and what you want her to become is a hummingbird. Hello, everybody. How you doing out there? Hello, Mylon. Hello, wonderfully good to see you, Sherry. Not
Hello.
That it's not wonderfully good to see you.
There was a distinction there in the greeting.
Yeah, it's nice.
Well,
I was
but she does look
at
better
him.
At than I do.
I was coming back to you to say, hey, we're actually taping this program on a day when it's Mylon's birthday.
Uh-huh.
And happy birthday again,
Mylon.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
You.
And
I love the cupcakes.
Celebrate. We've all had cupcakes to celebrate.
But they're not just cupcakes to celebrate. They are cupcakes you went out and bought just in just
Can
as
you
a special
see? Look
occasion.
At this.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oops.
I think I've got the receipt.
It's amazing. I mean, look at these things.
What is the name of that place?
Wow. That is not just an average, ordinary
Casey's
cupcake.
Casey's Cupcakes.
This is a German chocolate one. We've been
Now, you know that the monitor is not a camera. The camera's over there.
Oh, I'm just...
That's funny.
All right, so I'm blonde.
Hey, we can only hope and pray that Casey's a tither, you know?
Yes, I would like that.
Yeah, so anyway, Casey's Cupcakes and...
no calories, of course.
Oh, my goodness. You know, my grandmother... was audited by the IRS because she gave away so much of her money they thought she was lying. You know, like Bernie Madoff was giving, you know, all millions to himself and my grandmother's Social Security. They thought, she can't be giving away that much. But anyway, she made a German chocolate cake that you would die for. I haven't tasted anything like it until I tasted those cupcakes.
This is very good.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Enough about that. All of you on the Lose It for Life plan.
Forgive us.
Pretend you didn't hear that.
Yeah.
We know
But
what
you have
we
to
do.
Learn to deal with temptation, and that's what we're trying to help here. I had a great cupcake because I didn't eat all of it, see? So that makes it a diet cupcake. We are glad you're with us here today, and one of the things that we love to do is take phone calls, and that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to go to Felicia, who is from Atlanta, Georgia, and on WNIV. Hi, Felicia. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. We're glad that you held on. I know you've been waiting to talk with us, and we're grateful that you did. How could we help today?
Well, I am in the process of seeking legal advice, but I wanted to get some spiritual advice.
Okay.
First.
All right.
I am under the assumption that my husband is having an affair.
Okay. Why would you think that?
Well, he works with a major corporation, and he's in IT, but he's been traveling back and forth to California and And during the Christmas holidays and recent the last couple of weeks, I found some things in his suitcase and in his briefcase.
And when you confronted him about that, what did he say?
I have not confronted him yet.
Because?
I just need to find out what I need to do at this point.
Okay.
We did have a falling out back in September. And the falling out was, there was a friend of ours that was staying with us. She lives in D.C., but she came down to visit for a weekend. And during that time, he asked her to leave the house because he felt that she was being a bad influence on our daughter. And after that, he told me that if we could not agree on how to run the house, then we have nothing together. And if I was naked and spread eagle, it would do absolutely nothing for him.
All right, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. That's a very typical attitude that a sex addict would have. We'll be back.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Felicia.
Mm-hmm.
If you are timid and weak and people-pleasing and that's why you didn't confront him, I'm sad for you. If you are smart and wise and you're going to get your ducks in a row before you talk with him about this, then I'm pleased for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, okay. Get my ducks in a row.
All right. And so you're talking with an attorney?
I am in the process of looking for an
okay.
attorney.
Because your husband's having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also a sex addict. He's proven that by the fact that sex addicts reach a point where the person that they fell in love with, the person that they love beyond anything else, the person they were willing to die for, does absolutely nothing for them anymore. Their addiction neuters them as a husband, and it fuels the addiction. Satan is a conniving liar, and this is why sex works so great for Satan. It is why he uses this probably more than any other area, except maybe greed, to attack men, or inadequacy, to get us off track. It's sex.
Yeah.
So,
well, prior to last September, he was having a problem with impotence.
Mm-hmm.
But since September, he has not tried to touch me or be intimate with me or anything.
But
the other thing that
How old is he, by the way?
He's 55.
55, okay.
But Felicia, this goes along with what Steve was just saying. People with sexual addictions often struggle with impotence, and it's a common complaint. Your husband's also very controlling, Felicia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is controlling. That's the things that I have been dealing with him. He's controlling. He's argumentative. He's critical.
Right.
He has pretty much treated me like a doormat.
Okay, so what is your question for us, Felicia?
Yeah, why do you need to call us?
What spiritual advice did you want?
Well, basically what I'm trying to find out at this junction of my marriage is should I confront him and just deal with whatever, or is this the point where I should separate and get my, you know, take care of me at this point?
No, you know what I would do if I were you? This is just advice that I would give is I think you find out what your rights are. Whatever it is with the attorney, you take care of that so that you can say to him, I know that you're having an affair. I know that you're not attracted to me. I know that you're a sex addict. And until you're willing to do something about that problem, I'd like for you to live somewhere else.
Okay.
And then he says, and then you say, well, I've already consulted my attorney, and we filed this thing, and so we'll be officially, legally separated so that I can have financial support from you, and then he will be astounded at the strength that you're displaying, and it will really throw him off. He may be angry and rageful, and if he is, you will call the police.
Right. Okay.
So I think you have to confront him, but here's what will be great is after everything dies down, you say to him, hey, we have a chance here still, but you have to humble yourself and get some help.
Okay.
And if he gets some help, then you've got something to work with. But if his willingness continues in the face of reality, if his willingness continues to remain at zero, then you have some decisions that you have to make.
Right. And that's one of the issues that I've been dealing with him. We have tried to get counseling, and he has tried everything short of going to a counselor with me to get marriage counseling.
What do you mean he's tried everything? Now, I'm just going to disagree with you. So you try to convince me he's tried everything except go to a counselor. What's he tried?
Well, we have gone to a counselor before.
What has he tried to do?
Well, the first time that we tried, he told me that we would not go back to the first counselor because they had to put it as psychological instead of as a marriage counselor because of our insurance would not take it otherwise.
Do you hear the control? Remember what Mylan said? You have a very controlling husband.
No.
He's trying to blame it on anything because he doesn't want to own responsibility for his addiction.
Yeah. What else has he tried?
The second time we tried a different counselor. This was through some type of psychological school or what have you, where the students were actually counseling couples.
Yeah, okay. So what about him getting some help for his sexual addiction?
He has not done anything for that.
Well, that's what he needs to do. That's the first step.
See, and really, with a guy that's as strong as your husband, I doubt that a student intern is going to be able to manage a person like this.
And that's what I told him.
That's right.
And they are just starting off. I said, we have 24 years of marriage.
That's right.
Well, I bet he was delighted to be with that intern.
Right. He can walk. Can
but
total
he was
control.
Young, and, you know, and I was like, I know he will control the conversation.
Sure,
yeah.
You know, unless he was with Sherry or me, and then that wouldn't work.
He wouldn't have a chance.
Right. He wouldn't have a chance.
I think we've given you some good direction there. I think you're on the right track. I hope that you'll be courageous. I'm going to send you How We Love so that you'll see how you were attracted to such a controller as that. And maybe
we were both in church. That's how I met him.
Yeah. So? So
there's lots of controllers.
He has a Bible degree. And
had a Bible degree.
Yes.
So,
you don't
judge a person by where
by his cover.
Where they're standing or the cover of the book in their hand.
Right.
You judge them by what they do.
Right. And I go back to Corinthians where it says, if you have knowledge that can phantom whatever, but if you don't have love, it's like a clanging gong and a sounding cymbal. And that's what he has become to.
Sure.
Right. He's a really sick man, and you can just imagine what it must be like for him to have a Bible in one hand and know that on the other hand, there is nothing but sexual immorality.
And he uses the Bible to justify what he does.
Well, of course he does, because he's an idiot that's an addict. And when you're an idiot addict, it's really difficult to deal with. And so you got to try to help him deal with the idioticy and the addiction both.
Right.
All right?
And,
he's totally missed life. He's totally missed life, and we feel sorry for him. It's just so easy to get off track like this. But, you know, hopefully a strong response from you will bring him back. If anything would motivate him, it'll be a strong response from you. And if that doesn't, then you've got some other.
The other thing that can appeal to his heart is empathy, Steve.
Yeah, that's true.
For his undoubtedly his chaotic childhood.
Right.
People don't become this controlling without lots of chaos in their histories.
Right.
So if she can say, you know what? It's hard for you to let go of control.
Interesting. And I agree. It's either chaos or it can be extreme rigidity.
Yes, it could be.
Where it's like there's not a lot allowed.
That's right.
My former husband was a pastor, sex addict, and he came from a family of pastors.
Yeah.
And so the only place that he could go was underground with his addiction. So there was a lot of rigidity. It might not just be chaos.
You know what happens?
What's that?
If you're not in that chaotic situation, and then you're not in a healthy situation, but too rigid, I believe the chaos ends up inside of you.
Absolutely,
Steve. You get older, you feel that chaos again, and the only way you can fight it is to go back to the rigidity that caused it because you're used to it. They go hand in hand.
So very true.
So people that aren't well regulated on the inside and who have lots of chaos, they either tend toward rigidity or chaos themselves in adulthood. So that's precisely what she's up against. So empathy for that history, whatever it is, whether it's your good point, Sherry, it's rigidity, or whether where you have no ability to step out of the boundaries, or it's chaos. Honey, you are this way for a reason. Do we want to talk about the hurt that's deep down inside?
Yeah, exactly.
And just to refine that point, too, one of the things that I've seen is that a person with a horrible childhood will react against it. Well, to live your life in reaction to something isn't a healthy way to live. You need to live your life the way God wants you to live it, using your spiritual gifts, your talent. But those that have healthy childhoods, sometimes they live trying to repeat it. And they can never recapture that sense of, you know, the husband's never as good as dad. You know, they never feel like they felt in mom's arms. And so they're absolutely miserable.
Yeah,
I mean, Satan will use even the best of situations
to
destroy us or try to destroy us. All right, 1-800-229-3000. That is the number. I want to talk with Karen from Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Hello, Karen. Welcome to New Life.
Hello.
How are you?
Nice to be here. I'm fine, thank you.
How could we help you today?
Yes, my question is how to be with a spouse who intentionally uses the Word of God to manipulate others and to conceal his own sin.
Well, tell us give us an example of him using God's Word to conceal his own sin and manipulate others.
For instance, he's been very verbally abusive at home.
Okay.
Calling me terrible names, one of which was a witch, right? And I confronted him and I said, "Why are you calling me a witch? I just served you a plate of food." The appropriate response would be, "Thank you." And he says, "Well, you need to learn to suffer for righteousness' sake."
Whoa.
Okay, so how long has he been doing that?
We've been married for 7.5 years, and it's been going on ever since he claimed he is a Christian.
How old is he?
He's 35.
35. Okay. All right. So what's the question for us living with a man like that? Using the Word to manipulate you, distorting the Word to manipulate you.
Right. I've been called by God from a young age at 11 to seek him through his word and to have an intimate relationship with God. So I'm trying to not compromise my own relationship with the Lord here. But I see a man who I've tried to get help.
Yeah.
I've gone to many pastors, and I am just a total disbelief as to the pastors looking at him as a person that I need to submit to. And this has gone on over and over. I'm thinking maybe 5 different pastors, 5 different churches. He has won over with his knowledge of the Word of God.
Let me tell you, we'll hear from Mylon and Sherry, but here's where I think the pastors miss it, just a little bit. Submission is a biblical principle. But I think one of the things that you're not doing is submitting to the pathology that he's displaying. In other words, he is so sick that just talking to another pastor isn't going to do any good. Submitting to the reality of how sick he is means I go get professional help for me, because this is way out of hand. So out of hand, pastors don't even know what to say other than submit to the man. Well, when you submit to the man, you see he's controlled by this sickness of control. And to submit to that fully means I've got to go get some help for me, because this is too big for me to handle myself. See, that's kind of a submission to reality. And when you submit to reality, you're really submitting to God versus trying to manipulate reality or make reality look good or better or whatever. You really just needed to go to one pastor to get that answer of, submit to him and everything's going to be okay. I believe that women need to submit to the leadership of a man, but if you read what the Bible says, there is a mutual submission where it not only says submit yourself one to another, but it also says then he needs to be willing to die for you. I wonder why you didn't say to him, look, I will submit to anybody willing to die for me. Because that's the way it works. It's a two-way street. He's willing to die. I'm willing to submit. I'd be foolish not to submit to a man willing to die for me. A man would be foolish not to die for a woman that would submit to him. It's not just one or the other when that principle works. It's both.
Yes, certainly. I have refused to submit to some of his crazy ideas.
He's a fallen leader. He's a fallen leader. We'll get more from it. We'll talk to let Mylon and Sherry talk to you about this, but I'm really glad you called because, oh my goodness, the stuff coming out of his mouth. So sad. We'll be back right after this.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuta that my life was spared.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Karen, and she has a really a spiritually abusive husband, is what I call this, spiritual abuse. Mylon, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, the Bible doesn't teach cafeteria pastors, you know, where you just kind of go through Clifton's cafeteria and go, well, does this one look good and does this one look good, you know?
Yeah.
The Bible says to find a really good church, and the Bible says that in the latter days, it's going to be hard to find good churches. People will accumulate teachers who will tickle their ears, and good doctrine will be hard to understand. And so the Bible says, Peter, the fisherman, says in 2 Peter of Paul, he says, you know, the things of Paul are hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort to their own destruction.
Mm. Wow.
So there's
that's
lots.
Right on.
To his own destruction,
yeah,
he distorts
the
scripture.
They distort the untaught and the unstable. So Peter talks about people who are unstable. And he says, and there's other places where Paul talks about these people as being like hidden reefs in the love feast that, you know, are places where ships are going to get, you know, broken apart by something hidden underneath the surface.
Right.
The church is not good at looking for hidden reefs.
That's true.
Yeah.
See? And so that's why we have to pick our church based upon how solid are they with respect to their capacities to be the one who I appeal to in case I get in trouble.
Right.
So the elders are supposed to have the ability for the wife to appeal and for the ability for them to sit down with a husband and test him out and be able to create, literally in the New Testament, elders are supposed to be like judges to the church and to the
family. And they would say to him.
Now, and they would say to him.
Did you call her a witch?
Yeah, and you're way off track. Yeah. If your wife serves you a plate of food and then you tell her that she's supposed to suffer, oh my gosh, I see a hurt little boy here that grew up and he's in a big man's body, but he just has a horribly, horribly deficient childhood.
Yeah, right.
Sherry, okay. What would you say?
Mylan, you just hit it out of the ballpark because I'm sitting here listening to you, and Karen, we didn't want to miss you in this because there is a core, we can hear your core of truth. Like you're really wanting to hold on what's right. But my thought for you is, who are you going to that's hearing you? I mean, you've just unveiled with us and the listeners, and if we were the judges and elders, we have told you the truth. We've come to you and said, your husband is toxic. He's being religiously abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you need to go somewhere where you're going to be heard and that you can have that person go with you and confront your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody where he can't wield the word of God and get his way. He needs to be stopped in his tracks and to have somebody that's heard your story enough where you feel that strength and that somebody can stand with you.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
So that's where you need to go, Karen. Right. Just like you did with us today.
Okay, now I'm going to affirm her because I'm going to send her Every Man's Marriage. And in there is all the stuff about mutual submission and how we are to submit to each other in our own unique ways. And that's the pattern that God gives. It isn't a pattern of I'm the dictator and you're the doormat. That is nowhere in Scripture.
Right.
Do you find it anywhere?
So what? No, I don't, of course.
But it's said
a lot. I see strong women in the Scriptures is what I see.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question, Steve. You were saying something at the break about taking the Lord's name in vain.
Right. One of the concepts of taking the Lord's name in vain would, it would be like a wonderful king,
mm-hmm.
and then his son goes off and says, in the name of my father, I want your home. In the name of my father, give me that horse. That's taking his father's name in vain. It's misrepresenting what he is doing. Whereas there might be a daughter of the king who is going out and saying, here, I have an extra horse. Let me give it to you. It will help you on your farm. That is honoring of the father.
The spirit of the family.
That's right. So one way a person can take the Lord's name in vain is to claim a truth in the name of God, and it does not represent the heart of God or of the family of God whatsoever. And I believe that whereas this man may not be cussing, which is how we often relate taking the Lord's name in vain, he is taking the Lord's name in vain.
Wow,
he is misrepresenting God.
By misrepresentation.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
it's a horrible thing.
Powerful
thought.
Horrible.
Good insight, Steve.
Thank you. Let's talk to Betsy from Los Angeles, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, Betsy.
Hi. Oh, I'm so excited to be online with you guys. Hi.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, I'm going to send Karen Toxic Faith.
Thank you.
Along with the book Every Man's Marriage. Now, Betsy, we're back to you. Sorry I had to interrupt myself, but I do it often.
Okay.
How could we help you?
I have a question concerning a small group that I lead through my church.
Okay. What kind of group is it?
I'm sorry?
What kind of group is it?
It's a small group Bible study,
primarily.
But then it also tends to lean towards being intentional, Christ-centered community, and being friends and fellowshipping, and all that comes out of the Lord together. So it's good. It's generally been a really good, healthy thing. I've been leading that for 5 years.
Oh, great.
And it is, it's a mixed-sex group. It's men and women, primarily in our late 20s, early 30s.
Okay.
The question is concerning some conflict that's gone down recently in the group and how me as the leader should best handle this and move the group forward in a healthy direction.
All right. Conflict in the group, how you as a five-year veteran leader could handle that conflict. All right, we love conflict questions like this, so we'll deal with that when we come back. You hear the music. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, and 1-800-229-3000 to be on the program. We'll take this break and come back after this. Glad you're with us today.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're talking to Betsy. She's a five-year veteran running a group. And Betsy, you've got some conflict going on there. What's the conflict?
Yes. Okay. Like I said, it's a mixed-sex group, men and women. And one of the single men was secretly dating one of the single women.
Okay.
I say secretly because they were dating openly in their private lives, but within the group, they didn't make that public to the group.
Okay.
Which is their business, whatever.
Yeah.
And they had some trouble in their dating relationship, mm-hmm. and he came to very strongly believe that she had been unfaithful to him in the context of their dating relationship.
Okay.
And the way that he chose to deal with that information was to confront her publicly in front of the group during group time.
Ruh-roh.
And so,
well, I have to be honest, I'm a little confused here because I'm like, if you've got two people that are dating in a small group and the group doesn't uh-huh. know about it, it's uh-huh. a secret already. To me, it's kind of it's a no-brainer. You're going to have a problem with that. I would say
yeah,
it would be important to just let that out as a going forward as
right.
part of the guidelines.
Quick question.
To let it out.
As the
right?
leader,
no
of,
secrets.
As the leader of the group, did he tell you he was going to confront her in front of the group or publicly in the group?
No.
Okay, so he didn't do that.
It was their choice as to how they wanted to handle their dating relationship.
Yeah, right.
I knew they were dating because I had seen them out socially outside of
okay.
group time, and that was fine.
Right.
I confronted him when I had heard that their relationship had ended, and I asked him, hey, how is this going to play out in the group? We need to talk about this. You two need to talk about this together. If it's not healthy for either of you or for the group, for you two to be in the group, then we need to discuss, you know, does someone need to leave? How do we handle this? And he, at that point, lied to me and told me that everything was fine, everything was okay, there's nothing to worry about. They had worked it out
yeah.
amongst themselves.
Okay.
And then that night, the confrontation happened.
Okay. So what's the question for us?
Well, the question is kind of, what do I do now? Let me kind of back that up by what has been done. When that happened, she left. I was able to talk to her before she left, to talk to him, and then he went on and told the entire group about what had gone on between the two of them when I was out speaking to her outside, so I didn't know
mm-hmm.
that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire matter has been brought into the group at this point.
Okay. So is the group aware of the truth that he lied to you and then went ahead and presented this information without discussing it with you?
Some of the group is, not the entire group, okay. No.
So it seems like to me the first thing would be for everybody in the group to know what is true and what is real.
Okay. Okay.
Mylon, what do you think?
You use this as a
teaching. The plot thickens.
And that is?
There is a married couple in the group who is extremely loyally committed to him and to what he says the truth is.
Yeah.
And that has caused further conflict in the group.
Okay. So essentially, Betsy, what he did was he hijacked the group.
Right.
So who's the leader, you see? So what we really have to do is you have to say, okay, anytime a group of people or kids for that matter or teenagers or whatever in any group, anytime there's a problem, we use that to build for the future. We need to say
right.
This, we don't do this anymore, or this is not how this group operates and functions.
That's what we've done.
Great. So essentially it becomes a non-issue from that point on. Whether this other couple is loyal to him or not, it kind of doesn't matter. The issue is we're not going to discuss this issue anymore because we basically have a he says, she says, and we're not going to discuss it anymore. And if you want further help with this, A, you can go to the pastors of the church. B, you can get into counseling. And C, you can do something other than do it here. This is my group, and here's where we're going to go.
Okay. And
awesome.
Have you talked with the person who heads up the group's ministry in the church, the pastor?
Yes.
What was their response to you?
Their response was to have meetings individually with the guy, with the girl, and with the married couple, which has been done. And then report back to the group as to what was, taken care of in those meetings. And
good.
The guy was told he must apologize to the group and to the girl for his behavior that evening if he wanted to come back, and he refuses to apologize to the girl. So
okay.
He's not welcome back.
Okay.
He's not in the group.
All right. And what about what about the couple that's loyal to
him? That's tricky because they are still very loyal to him, and
mm-hmm.
especially the husband has some very erroneous theology about how we are to respond to punishment and
okay.
when somebody,
yeah.
what our role as Christians in punishing people who do wrong and all
right.
this.
That has to do with judgment,
will,
right? Judging. Does it have to do with judgment? Judging others?
It's thrown in there. I would say the big picture is it has an erroneous view of grace.
Okay.
Okay, so it's kind of an excusing view of grace.
I guess so. He believes what was done to the girl was just and right.
Okay. Well, here's my thought. He hijacked the group, the way Mylon said.
Uh-huh, right.
And now he's not willing to do what's required to be part of the group. So
right.
he is no longer part of the group.
Right,
if
good.
The couple then, with their feelings about him, if the couple hijacks the group, they continue to talk behind your back, how mistreated he was and all of that, then they are now hijacking the group.
Okay.
See?
Yeah.
And so then you
right.
go back to the person who's in charge of the group, or you talk with them about it and say, look, this group, our history, is bigger than this one issue.
Absolutely.
What if I'm wrong? What if I was wrong about all this? You need to support the group. Otherwise, we're going to end up having no group. It's going to all fall apart over a guy dating a girl. So for
right.
the greater good, if you think I'm wrong, forgive me and let's go forward. If I'm right, well, then
okay.
I'm not going to bring it up again that I'm right. And so we need to all go forward. But you can't let them be in control of the group either.
Well, and what you have to also realize is what you have in your group. And you have a highly sensitive person who was jealous and very possessive of the girl who he was dating.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
set up
mm-hmm.
a set of rules in his mind as to what the relationship
mm-hmm.
should be. But they're not engaged. They're not married. And what are the rules?
Mm-hmm.
It says you can't date somebody else if you're dating
right.
somebody. I mean, you have to ask,
sure.
what was the expectation? And maybe help the group or the guy understand, what expectation did you have? Did you have an exclusivity
mm-hmm.
clause written into your contract? Oh, what contract?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there wasn't
mm-hmm.
a contract. Did
right.
you talk about it? No. Well, then why shouldn't she
yeah.
date somebody else?
Right. Okay. I'm really sorry this happened. I hope that the group survives it. But,
yeah.
Sometimes groups have run their course after 5 years.
That's a great point,
right.
Steve.
And I'm open to that. I'm open to seeing what God will do with this. I just don't know yet.
Or sometimes things like this can happen, Betsy, and it takes a group deeper.
Right.
I mean, I think there is a place, you know, and I may take a little different bend on this, but for maybe bringing in kind of a no secrets policy to the group, right? Mm-hmm. Because anytime we hide things, especially when you're doing group, and you said it, it's kind of an intentional community. How do you compartmentalize yourself? How do you be a certain way in group and then a certain way in life? It already brings confusion.
That's a great point.
And so it kind of breeds these things that can happen. But when everything's on the up and up, like a family, there's no hidden secrets, nothing in that room, that door, you know, behind that door, you're less likely to have these surprises that can kind of make the group feel a little unsafe and unlike,
To clarify, it doesn't mean that if a couple is going to have dinner with another couple next week that they need to share it with the group. Hey, listen, I just want everybody to know we're going to dinner. And
sure, but it does, I get it.
But it means after you go to dinner with a couple, you don't say, hey, let's don't tell anybody in the group we went to dinner for whatever reason, because there's your secret.
Right. Exactly.
This is just part of the group. This is part of us, and we did this, and we can even talk about something funny that happened when we were together. That encourages other couples to do things together, or singles.
So, hey, really what we're talking about here is for Betsy and her group to model, how do you repair after ruptures?
Yes, because they're going to happen.
Ruptures are a part of life. You know, I'm broken, the world's broken, nothing works right. So how do we repair these ruptures?
Great point.
Repair or tear. We're going to tear this group apart, or we're going to show people, model how we repair. And that's a great idea.
But technically, see, the church is supposed to be a place where all that's learned. Yeah. If I never learned it growing up in my home. And there's a lot of people that are thinking, my home, repair, never happened.
And that's kind of an objective thing to bring up. Hey, we've really learned something here, that when we keep secrets from the group, it really does. When we have an agenda that's private, it really does mess things up. And so,
especially when it involves another group member, when it's that personal.
Betsy, is there anything we've said that's helpful at all?
Absolutely. You guys are great. You're always great.
Can we come to your group?
Yeah. Hey, you're in L.A. We're all going to show up at your small group.
If you did that, I would have the rock star group of the city.
Hey, you already have the rock star. You are a rock star. Thank you for even doing something like this, Betsy. I'd love to see what you're doing.
Let's get your address there in L.A., and we'll see if we can.
We'll do an intervention. New Life intervention.
You know, my group, we had a Super Bowl party at this guy's house, and I feel like it was inappropriate because the size screen, he had projection, high-definition screen. It was 140 inches wide. My goodness. And you know, how do you go home to your little 46 inch television set after seeing something like that? I felt
that's
inadequate.
That's a pornography analogy, isn't it?
In some ways, at the break, you can tell me.
Yeah, I got really quiet in the room
when
here.
You expose yourself to lots of stuff that you
we'll
don't
be back
really
after
have.
This.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. I'm glad you're with us here today on New Life Live with Milan Yurkovich, the author of How We Love, Now How We Love Kids. And Dr. Sherry Denham is going to be doing a seminar in September for wives who are battling back from the battle. Men have gone into battle, have established sexual integrity. They come home. They're bumping heaven. They're excited. They've got their life back. And there she is, just doing what she's done all along, supporting. Now, he looks like a hero, and there's anger, bitterness.
And he begins to share what he's learned from the conference, and all of a sudden there's, like, carnage on the ground.
Yeah.
You know,
well, not just what he learned, but what he did. He admits maybe everything that
they
he did.
They come clean.
Oh.
We had the most phenomenal call here on the show several weeks ago. And it was just this topic. This lady says, my husband has done all the right things. And she goes, I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The question is, what about me now?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So you're doing a conference in September.
Yes.
It's going to be fantastic. But right now, we're going to go back to our calls, and we're going to talk with Elizabeth, Sacramento, California. Now,
hello.
Elizabeth, you're our final caller in this show, but the others, if you'll hold on, we're going to do another program right after this, and we'll get to your call. That's a promise. How could we help you today?
Hi. I can't believe I'm on.
Well, we're glad you are.
Yeah, you guys are wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for your ministry. My question's kind of complex, but I'm going to try to say it right away. What do I do, or what is my role with my husband? He has erectile dysfunction, and he's kind of looking to me, seems like mainly, to solve his problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we've recently had the empty nest since August. And
okay. How old is your husband?
He's 58.
What do you
and
mean?
He's been dealing with this most of our marriage.
Okay.
It's just gotten worse.
How is he expecting you to deal with it? To be more provocative?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
He thinks I'm not excited by him at all sexually.
Yeah.
We've been to the Penner Conference.
Okay. So you've really tried to work on this. Is he taking medication to help the problem?
He started taking Wellbutrin because one of the counselors...
That causes impotency, by the way. That's one of the side effects of it.
Oh, okay. Well, he only was on it for less than a week because
okay.
he was getting migraines, and he wasn't sure if that was the cause. He suffers from migraines a lot.
Has he tried to treat his problem medically, though, the dysfunction?
Yes. Well, he's been to the doctors about it and urologists and everything, and also...
So for different
health reasons, he can't use some of the medicines.
Okay, but if somebody prescribed Wellbutrin for him, that means he was depressed.
Right.
And so that is undoubtedly...
Anxiety, I think. I'm not sure.
Anxiety, depression, but Wellbutrin...
He just recommended it. He didn't actually prescribe it.
Okay, but the point I'm trying to make is here you have an anxious depression, perhaps, that will definitely affect arousal response in the male.
There's nothing really that you would be able to do to fix this problem for him. Now, here's the question. Has he ever been involved in pornography at all?
Yes. Yes, he has. And it's been... he's never gotten seriously into it, but he has been in it for years. And he just... In the last year, he told me he stopped looking at it, and he said, I want a real relationship with you. I don't want to look at...
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
But now I just discovered this morning he had ordered all these R-rated movies.
Yeah.
And some
okay.
of them very erotic.
He's,
and so I thought, well, he's replacing.
Okay. All right.
Well, he's trying to create this.
He's struggling. He doesn't know what to do. But see, he probably doesn't understand that one of the side effects of pornography is the real live human being living in your bed is not as appealing. Mm-hmm. as if you would starve, the way we say it in Every Man's Battle is starve your eyes. And we talk about if you will stop looking at all of the images that are out there, some of the things that you don't like about your wife's body will become some of your favorite things. I've witnessed this. I've seen this to be true. You can't just walk out of pornography and all of a sudden expect to pick up a healthy sex life with your wife.
So it's a journey is what you're saying.
It's a big journey, and he doesn't even know that he's created the problem for himself, or part of it is that.
So would it be good for him to go to EMB?
Totally. He needs to get treatment.
He won't go. He just, he's very stubborn.
And so how do you feel about that? He won't go.
I figure I guess I'm kind of
passive.
I think if he did go, he's probably one of those guys where it won't help because.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know that. You know, you can't. You can lead a horse to water. People say lead a horse to water, can't make him drink, but you can sure make him thirsty.
Elizabeth, do you know why Steve said passive?
No.
Okay, let me explain. Really, when you said to us that it's not that big of a problem with your husband, you're in denial over
that. The pornography?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You're in denial over that.
Yeah, I know. It was like every once in a while it would bother me.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time I would compare it with other women. I was actually in a group of women who dealt with it. And my husband always came out like low on the scale where his wasn't so bad.
That's passive.
Yeah.
But then when I looked at these movies today, I was just sobbing.
Sobbing.
You're sobbing.
I want them to wake you up.
Yeah.
I want them to wake you up because it is real, and he has a problem with sex addiction.
And there's nothing you can do to fix it. He needs to decide.
You have a lot to say. This is not okay.
Are you willing to get some help with the problem that is destroying our marriage? Or am I not worth it?
Yeah.
See, every time he speaks, if you say you do not have erectile dysfunction, you have a sexual addiction. Every time he says that, you go, no, you have a sexual addiction. No, you have a sexual addiction. What are you going to do about your sexual addiction? You can have a voice. That voice can change the future for you.
Yeah.
But you have to stand up and not be passive like Steve and Sherry are saying you are. Because I agree, that would be three people voting to say you're too passive.
First,
you can just tell by the way.
First, it's magazine. First, it's magazines. Then it's internet stuff, and then it's watching movies, and then all of a sudden he's in a massage parlor or in a strip joint or where they do.
Well, it's never progressed like that.
Well, but I'm saying now that he's 58, if the movies don't do it, there's something that's down the road that might be next. I wish we had more time. I'm going to send you Every Man's Marriage and Every Woman's Marriage. I'll send you Every Man's Battle, and I'm going to pray that you say to him, you need to make a decision. It's me or it's Every Man's Battle. If it's not me, it's me or the pornography. And if it's me, you go to Every Man's Battle. That's really what you need to do. We need your help. We need you to support us. If you can, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. We've been asking people if you might be willing to find $110 and buy one day of radio time from your area, one day, or buy a week or a month, whatever. But please help us. We really did well. You really came through for us in January and February. Some of you came through. It's just amazing. And we just need to continue that the rest of the year. Summer's coming up, and so I'm just hoping and praying that you'll stick with us here in March and help us if you've never given before. And you feel like that one guy who said, I feel like when I hear your program, I'm behind the counselor's sofa listening in on somebody getting help. And he was so grateful, he started crying and said, I don't want to steal God, I want to support your ministry. Maybe God's leading you to do that. If he is, please do support us. We have wonderful things coming up, and if you have any desire to move to that next level, a New Life Weekend or the Marriage Intensive or that Lose It for Life program coming up in October, and then Sherry's got a Wives in the Battle or Battling Back workshop, a lot of things that we have for you. You find out about it at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.